You have a head coach, my friend,
yes,
who wants to get the easy win. Then you have players. Players and fans who want to see Virginia Tech and LSU. They don't want to see Appalachian State. They don't want to see easy non-conference games. They want to see big-time games like Cal and Tennessee. I think athletic directors have to listen to the players, and I think it's a mixed bag. You don't have to have all your tough games in a non-conference, but at least one big-time opponent, maybe a second-tier opponent, and then a couple for Lee, and I have a couple cupcakes. But other than that, these 1AA teams should not be on the schedule for Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. Teams like that have no business playing 1AA teams.
The Mountaineers have just beat the Michigan Wolverines! The Mountaineers of Appalachian State have just beat the Michigan Wolverines!
It never gets old. Happy 10-year anniversary. App State beat Michigan on September 1st, 2007. Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast. I'm Bryce Johnson. Hope you're doing great. And today's episode is a special one. I'm, of course, an App State grad, and so I love talking about all the teams and sports and everything going on across the country and world. But there's one team that holds a very special place in my heart, and that is the App State Mountaineers. And so today I have an excuse to talk about their big win from 10 years ago. And you might say, wait, 10 years, we're still talking about this? You better believe it. Because, hey, has there been a better upset since? I don't think so. Now, you can argue maybe there are some better games here or there, but as far as upsets go, and as far as the impact that that game had on the game of college football, on the town of Boone, on the school, App State, on all those players and coaches that were involved in that game, on both sides, all the fans, for a guy like me, who was a student at the time, I was working on the college radio station, was also working on a station in Boone, And so the impact that that had on my sports career or broadcasting career was huge. And so today we think back to 10 years ago. It was a ton of fun to experience that and the memories that are associated with that from a school standpoint, as a fan standpoint, a family standpoint. It was awesome. So I want to share an interview with you today with one of the coaches from that game. And his name is Mark Spear. He's now the head coach at Western Carolina. But he was key in the success of that program because he was the recruiting coordinator during the glory years. App State's still awesome. So they've moved up to a new level, and it's kind of a new era. It's a new story now. And they've got Georgia Saturday night, which I'll be at that game. So hopefully we'll bring some of the Michigan-ness that we had at that wonderful day 10 years ago. But again, it can never recreate or be on that same level that it was, that type of upset that we saw. So even if App State beat Georgia, it wouldn't be as surprising. You talk about beating Michigan as a 1AA school when they were number 5 in the country. It was incredible. So I'm actually going to play an audio piece that I put together while I was still in college of all the clips following that game and even leading up to it and just some cool stuff. So we'll play that before the interview. Enjoy the interview. Then stick around at the end of the interview. I got one more clip for you from PTI, which is just kind of my favorite sports show. So their recap of the game was pretty cool too. Dan Lebatard was actually filling in for Mike Wilbon. So you'll take a listen to that. And then also I'll give just a few thoughts at the end of the interview on what Coach Spear talked about. But real quickly, I just want to let you know, check out unpackingit.com to find out more about this podcast, our radio show, our devotionals. It's unpackingit.com. And also want to thank one of our partners, Uncommon. All right. They're an organization that encourages men to be the husband, dad, and leader we were always meant to be. And they provide blogs, videos, and other great content. And their mantra is, don't be a jack. All right. So you can visit them over at uncommon.org. That's Uncommon, spelled UNCOMMEN.org. So here's a little audio from App State and Michigan.
Nothing can match what happened at the Big House in Ann Arbor today. Michigan, number five in the land, taking on two-time FCS 1AA national champion Appalachian
State. Appalachian State giving us the storyline of the day.
But you need a tune-up game.
Tune-up game?
Yeah, in college we start every season against Appalachian State or some slack Division II team. Get their confidence up.
Coach, one of the greatest upsets in college football history. You knew it. You knew your guys could do this before. They are winners. You not only silenced the folks in the Big House, you stunned them.
Somber. I mean, this is not just probably the worst loss of the Lloyd Carr era. It could very arguably be the worst loss in Michigan history. And people are angry. People are somber. And I think there's more anger than somber.
Scott and I were just talking, though. Appalachian State has won two straight titles.
It's not like they're scrubs. They could compete at the lower level of the Big Ten year in and year out. I'm convinced of that.
Michigan, the only top 10 team to lose in the first weekend of the college football season.
You have no idea how many problems happen in the locker room when you lose, particularly to Appalachian State.
Well, they got a lot of speed and quickness, and they got a very mobile quarterback. This thought to be a game where Michigan's size would be too dominant, but the quickness of Appalachian was prevalent throughout the game.
This wasn't an upset based on what I saw those two teams. Appalachian State was a better team today.
Michigan's core of seniors, Chad Henney, Mike Hart, Jake Long, they came back to finish business, thought they could win the national championship. Mark, that deal's over. You're not winning the national championship if you lose to a team, no matter how good 1AA team is, to lose to Appalachian State. It's over.
That dream is shattered for those three players. And it's to lose a game like this in your backyard, in your home stadium, a game that you scheduled to win, that your alumni are there, they're expecting to win with your fans.
Michigan running back Mike Hart refused to make any excuses for what Appalachian State pulled off, other than they were the better team on Saturday. Hart said, "I wouldn't call it embarrassing because that takes away from them."
Appalachian State beat them today, and I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was no fluke. I mean, they just flat got after them and got after them good.
Man, I love that. So many good clips, and just to think back at how that game rocked that first weekend of college football and was a big story even for the rest of the year. And the fact that it's still remembered and talked about 10 years later, it's just great. And so even at the beginning of this podcast, I played that Kirk Herbstreit quote and audio from right before the game. It was College Game Day. And you know, just this concept of people talking about Appalachian State, and they didn't even know how to say our name. Didn't even know, a lot of people didn't even know where we were from. I remember as I was walking into the stadium, because I went to the game, the fans were pretty nice, but they were condescending. Like, they were, "Hey, come check out our tailgate," but they were, "Oh, where are you guys from? Some little town in the mountains of North Carolina," and, you know, kind of mocking us a little bit. And so I go, yeah, I'll talk to you afterward. I don't remember what I said to him, but it was funny. So to listen to the analysts and just get their response to it is pretty neat. And so now my conversation with Coach Mark Spear. We'll talk about where he's at now, but then we'll spend a ton of time talking about App State and Michigan and all of his memories. Here we go. Our guest today is the head football coach at Western Carolina, where he's been since the 2012 season. Before that, he spent 9 years at Appalachian State and served as the recruiting coordinator and assistant coach. During his time at ASU, the team won 3 consecutive national championships and had a historic win at Michigan. September 1st is the 10-year anniversary of the huge win, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Coach Mark Spear to talk about that game, the upcoming season, faith, and family. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, I'm psyched to have you, and we're going to talk about the big game, but you've also got a huge game coming up to start the season for Western in Hawaii. So how you feeling about the upcoming season for your football team, and how'd this work out to start it in Hawaii?
Well, it's we're excited to get this season rolling, and what a way to start it out with a trip to Hawaii. It's been a little bit of a logistical nightmare, but once we we leave here Wednesday night. It's going to be a great trip for our players. You know, we're going out there with the same mentality we had at App State when we hopped on a plane to go to Michigan, you know, 10 years ago. But, it's going to be a great trip for our student athletes and our coaches. And, you know, we're going out there just as we did 10 years ago. And we were going out there to win a football game. We want to play well and end up having a chance to win the thing in the fourth quarter. And we have had a great preseason and feel like we're going to have a really good football team. You know, when you speak of Appalachian, it's kind of like we're getting the band back together. We've got Coach John Wiley, who was the defense coordinator there at Michigan, and all those three national championships. He's our new defensive coordinator, brand new to our team this year. Brad Glenn was a coach on that team, who's our offense coordinator now. And then we have John Holt and Pat Mills, who were at Michigan as players.
That's
so
right.
We've got it's kind of like I tell guys we're getting the band back together just at a different venue. But but we're excited about the 2017 season here at Western, and we feel like we're going to be a lot better. Last year we struggled, but we feel like it's going to be a lot better season for us. We struggled mightily on defense and had a change, and Coach Wiley just brought that App State winning attitude, to be honest with you, here.
Nice.
And our defenses fell in love with him, and they're playing hard and playing fast. So we're really, really excited about the 2017 season.
Oh, that's great to hear. And of course, it's a business trip. You got to go win a football game. But what about the waves and the ocean out there? How does that fit into the trip?
Well, we're going to definitely let our players enjoy Hawaii a little bit.
Cool.
We're flying out early Thursday morning. We're going to get there and practice. And actually, my first game as an Appalachian State Mountaineer in 2003 was Hawaii. And
oh,
so I've
okay.
done this trip, you know, as a football team before. And we're actually mimicking kind of what we did there when I was at App. So we're going to get there and practice. Because of the time change, we got a direct flight, and then we're going to practice, and then afterwards we're going to give them some free time Thursday night because, hey, that's what we do here. You know, when we're at home, we give them free time Thursday night, and obviously we're going to have a curfew and all that, but Friday we're going to practice Friday morning and go visit Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
And then after Pearl Harbor, we're going to have a couple of we're going to get about 2 hours on Friday to kind of in midday to kind of enjoy out on the beach. And then Friday afternoon or evening, we're going to get into game mode. And we play 6 o'clock on Saturday, which is midnight here. But we don't fly out until Sunday at four. So we don't depart the hotel till 1 o'clock.
Oh.
So they're going to have all Sunday morning to get out in the beach, play around. So we're definitely keeping it very much game like, but
yep.
you know, Sunday we're going to let them enjoy Hawaii. So it's going to be a great trip for our student athletes. And then we get right into our schedule, and then we end the year at the University of North Carolina. So
oh,
I told everybody this is our Sea to Shining Sea tour this year, and start in the Pacific and end in the Atlantic.
So, that's great.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting season for us.
Very cool. No, that's awesome to hear. Coach Mark Spear, head coach of Western Carolina, joining us here on Unpacking It, their first game against Hawaii. Well, 10 years ago, Coach Spear was an assistant coach with Appalachian State, and we're talking right now the week leading up to the first game of the season, and that year the first game was against Michigan up at the Big House. It's crazy to think it's been 10 years ago. I was in the crowd as a fan. And so just even as you hear about the anniversary, how often do you think about that game, and what do you think about when you do think about it?
Well, there's so many times that as I'm out, you know, in my role as a head coach here at Western, and people will read my bio, or, you know, somebody's announcing where I'm speaking, and they say a former coach at App State, and the first question I get is, were you there? It's not, were you there when you won the three national championships? Were you there when you beat Michigan?
That's right.
And I was actually golfing at a Catamount Club, one of our Catamount Club golf events in Hayesville, North Carolina this summer. And the guy who was actually hosting it had some buddies, business associates that were down. They played in the tournament, and they were from Michigan. They had nothing to do with Catamount Club, and they found out that I had coached at App, and they at the end of the deal, they'd written up a bill that I owed them $600 for the TV that they tore up that game. So forever, awesome. You're associated with that game, and when people find out, you know, that's very few guys remember that we won three national championships. It's you're the team that beat Michigan. So it was such a historic game, and none of we knew it was big at the time, but none of us knew the magnitude of that game. And I don't think it really processed till later, but there's not many months that go by that somebody doesn't bring up the Michigan game.
I'm right there with you. Same in my life. It just comes up in conversation, which is always fun to relive. And so I'm curious from your perspective then, what was the week like leading up to that game and even the night before? Like what was the tone, the attitude, the conversations with the players?
Well, be honest with you, we thought we were going to play well. I don't think anybody in their wildest imagination, said we're going to go beat Michigan. But we did feel like we were going to play well. I remember early in the week, you know, I was a defensive line coach, and I remember the offensive guys saying they can't run. You know, we feel like we're going to score some points. And I remember that we were thinking, I don't know what they're smoking in there, but we need some in this room. Because they were returning, you know, Mike Hart, an All-American. Jake Long was the number one offensive tire. He was the number one player taken in the draft. They had two more first-round draft picks in Manningham and Chad Henne, the quarterback.
Still
and
playing.
They had all come back to win a national championship that year. And I know offensively they were really good. But our offense kept saying they cannot run. So we did actually feel like we were going to play good. And, you know, Coach Moore just always talked about, let's go have a chance to win this thing in the fourth quarter. And we felt like if we do that, we would win because they couldn't flip the switch. It would be too late for them. And Coach talked about it. It'll be too late. We just got to get them to the fourth, and they can't flip the switch. And lo and behold, it's like he was a prophet. We called him Master Yoda because he could just do the force and make it work. But, we did, again, thought we'd play well. It got to the fourth quarter with a chance to win it. And our guys believed because, you know, we went down there. They went surging ahead, and it looked like they were going to pull it out. But our guys never wavered because Coach Moore had always instilled that let's have a chance to win in the fourth quarter, and we'll do it. And I remember one of the few things that I've told people when they've asked me about it, you know, they said, what's something that nobody knows? Thursday before we left on Friday, a major thunderstorm, and this was before the indoor, happened, and we didn't even practice on Thursday. And that's your big polish day. That's your day to say, okay, here's our last run. It's not a hitting day and all that. It's all your last huge mental day. And Coach Moore said, well, and I'll never forget it. We were sitting on the back porch there at the old Owens Fieldhouse, and Coach Moore said, we don't need to practice. We're ready.
Wow.
And it was just that confidence.
Yeah.
You know, and the rest of us assistant coaches are saying, he's lost it. You know, we're playing Michigan. But I remember Coach, it was kept on thunderstorming. Hey, we're going to have to wait 30 more minutes, which is protocol. Every time lightning strikes, 30 more minutes. And finally, Coach said, we don't need to practice. We're ready. And we didn't even practice the Thursday before Michigan.
That's why.
You know, that's a story that a lot of people don't know. But how much confidence and that Coach Moore had in our preparation. And you know, that confidence. And it wasn't false confidence.
No.
And again,
no.
None of us knew that we were going to go beat Michigan, but we did go up there feeling like we were going to play good. And Coach always, and I still use it to this day, it wasn't a money game. It was an opportunity game.
Yeah.
You know, and to this day, I still use that term as we're getting ready for, you know, the bigger schools because, you know, it's an opportunity for us to go do something special. So, you know, awesome. Like I said, we had a lot of confidence going into that week and thought we would play well. We just didn't know we were going to play that well.
That's right. Well, we're talking to Mark Spear, head coach at Western Carolina, former App State assistant coach and part of the App State win at Michigan. And so it's the 10-year anniversary this weekend, and we're just reminiscing a little bit. And so take us into the halftime in the locker room and then also on the sideline. What was kind of the feeling or the atmosphere of players and coaches?
Well, our players felt like they could play with them because we were in much, much better shape than they were. They were bending over. Tempo, they hadn't seen tempo like ours. The Big Ten back then was just a power football, eye running, and we had that tempo going, and they were tired. And our players knew it, and, you know, they were over there on the sideline saying, they're tired, let's keep it going. You know, and that gave our players more confidence that our training had prepared us for that moment. And we knew that we had to be in great shape. So that helped our confidence. And all, you know, and again, you go back to Master Yoda, Coach Moore, all preseason, he talked about blocking field goals. Mm. And he hadn't in the past.
Mm.
You know, we'd done it, but he had put a real emphasis on blocking field goals that preseason. There we go. What people don't remember, we blocked two field goals that game. Everybody remembers the last one, right. Corey.
Oh, yeah.
They don't remember two series before when Brian Quick.
That's right.
Blocks one that makes all the difference. But, you know, it was all about our preparation. And then when we were in great shape, that just gave our players all that confidence in the world that, hey, they can't last four quarters with us. Let's get to the fourth winning. They can't last. And then at halftime, you know, we're up, and I remember, and it was documented a lot, but there goes Coach Moore again. He's preparing them.
Yep.
And our guys, they were, you know, they had a angle out. They had a bounce in their step going into the locker room. But once we got in there, it was business as usual. Coaches were making adjustments. Players, you know, were just sitting there. They weren't all giddy like little teenage girls. They were focused and about their business. And then Coach Moore steps in and says, hey, you know, you're going to get their very best shot. You've woken them up.
Mm.
You know, they believe you're a good football team now. Now, here's how you break their will. You know, he didn't. And that was his word. Here's how you break the will. We got to sustain their big surge. He said, you're going to get everything that Ohio State, that they give Michigan State, you know, that they give Wisconsin. You made them believers. Now, here's how you break the will. You withstand the surge.
Wow.
And that's the term he used. And so we get out there you know, we played good early third, and then we had a turnover, and that's when momentum started to switch.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, we were in better shape, and that gave our guys all the confidence. And then you just kept hearing Coach Moore say, we got to get to the fourth quarter. And, you know, it's kind of like Coach Moore was a prophet, and he knew how it was going to go because of this stuff he'd been talking about since early August. And it just kind of unfolded just like it. And then what better guy than Corey Lynch to go and, you know, seal the deal and be a part of that. So it was just an unbelievable day. That's one of those biggest days of your life kind of moment, right? You know, not as big as your kids and your marriage, you know, as far as a, you know, fun, selfish, you know, kind of earthly worldly thing. That's his, you know, that's right there at the top.
I'm right there with you. I experienced with my two brothers, my dad, my three uncles, and my grandpa, and it was as memorable as can be. So as someone in the crowd, we were feeling it, of course. And so it was just such an amazing day. And we're talking to Coach Mark Spear, head coach at Western Carolina, former App State assistant coach. And you mentioned Corey Lynch. And I wanted to get your insight, too, just on the character of that team. And of course, three national championships. And then everybody talks about the win at Michigan. But there was a common theme during that era where faith was so crucial to that locker room from Coach Moore down, and then key leaders like Corey Lynch and Nick Cardwell and Trey Elder. And from your perspective, just experiencing the character and the faith inside that locker room, what do you remember from that era?
Well, it's very vivid. You know, I remember Wednesday night Bible study there. That room would be full, and they wouldn't let a coach in or anybody else in. It was just them. And I remember Friday nights, a large group of them would pray over the field. They'd go pray in each teammate's locker that they'd pray for that guy for the next day. They would walk. Coach Moore called me in one night after the team meeting. He said, "Come here, watch this." And they looked like little ants, because it's dark and our windows looked out over the field. And you see little ants walking around the field, and they were just all over the field praying. Nick Cardwell would read 2 Samuel chapter 23, a long portion of it. That was the last thing they heard before they'd leave the locker room. That was the pregame speech. And it was a group that was tight-knit. I was at Alaska this summer, matter of fact. I went with my oldest son, and we went to Samaritan's Purse Operation Hill or Patriots in Port Allsworth, Alaska, and volunteered for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And Corey was there.
Yeah,
Corey,
that's right.
You know, is Franklin's son-in-law, Franklin Graham's son-in-law. And while we were there serving or volunteering, Corey showed up for a long weekend, and we set up till 1 o'clock in the morning. And we didn't talk about the championships for Michigan. Well, we talked about how that team got exactly what you're talking about. Mm. Because that's what we're trying to get going here at Western, and it doesn't happen overnight.
No.
You know, it's a process, and sometimes I get discouraged that it's not what's, you know, how I remember it at that. But that was such a key part of the chemistry and the bond of that team. And I guess 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, the big book that just came out, I know the writer came and talked to John Holt and Pat Mills, who were on our staff, and he talked to me, but he just wanted players, but he talked to me because I was a recruiting coordinator.
That's right.
And he said, "Give me some stories on some of these, you know, recruits and all." But one thing he said is, I kind of brought up the Bible study at one point. He said, "Coach, every player I've talked to, at some point in the conversation, it gets to that Wednesday night Bible study."
Yep.
And he said, "That just is intriguing." And this guy is not I don't know his faith, but it was nothing to do with faith-based. But he said, every player I've talked to at one point or another, it gets to that Wednesday night Bible study. And, you know, so it was no question that, you know, that if you had a bunch of guys that faith was important, and, you know, the relationship was important, and those two big commandments of, you know, love God and then love your neighbor.
Yep.
That was truly what was happening, because they didn't care. You know, you had Armani Edwards, Kevin Richardson, you had Brian Quick. I mean, you had NFL players and all Americans, and none of them cared. They just wanted to win, and they wanted to see each other do good. And it wasn't, well, I'm not getting my touches this week, or, you know, he's getting the ball more than I am. Or they knew their day was coming, and they were just excited about their teammates, and, you know, that our team was winning, and they were excited for their teammates that when they did well. And that was something that came through those Bible studies and that time together. And just being around a guy like Coach Moore, you just knew the things he said, you know, some coaches, when they say we're going to go play well at Michigan, they think, well, that's coach trying to motivate me, you know, because he wants to do good. You know, every player and every coach on that staff, there was no doubt Coach Moore believed that in his heart because he believed that in those players, because he knew what those players were made of. Mm. And he knew they could go do that in his heart. He believed it. And, you know, I remember him saying one time on a punt return, talking to Dexter Jackson, he says, you're going to shock with your speed. Well, he didn't with the punt return, but he did with two slants, you know, and yep. It was just eerie, the things that Coach Moore said, but he believed them with his heart. You know, one cool story I tell on my youngest son, Jackson. Jackson had to be, I think he was 6 years old, and every night, you know, he would start out with, now I lay me down to sleep. He would say his prayer, yeah. And then at the end of the prayer, then he would say whatever. You know, he had that standard prayer. And for what, this is a true story, so help me. For one solid month, he'd say, and I pray Daddy's team will beat Michigan.
Wow.
And me and my wife, we would laugh. You know, we thought it was funny. And but for a solid month, he was saying, let Daddy's team beat Michigan. And that's something that's still written in my Bible, the righteous prayer of a child. I said, you know, it's right there if you'll just believe. Jackson, we tell everybody, the only two who believed it was Coach Moore and Jackson, my youngest son. And, you know, it showed me the power of prayer, faithful, righteous prayer. But,
that's right.
You know, and the faith of a child, you know, because Jackson prayed it. So anytime we need something, we say, we better ask Jackson.
Oh, that's cool.
Up, cause, but, you know, that's, there's so many story. Deep memories like that. That are faith-based, which is really awesome.
Yeah, well, and even just being a student there and you know, knowing some of the players, and it was a real thing, and it just seems so unique and special. And so to look back 10 years, and you know, everybody will be talking about the amazing upset. When you go a little bit deeper and you recognize what was really going on behind the scenes and who these people were at that time and the impact they were having on the campus, let alone in the locker room, and then what they're doing now, you know, you mentioned Corey Lynch and just some of these guys that have now gone on to coach and the guys like you who are an assistant to now be in charge and as a head coach. It's just cool just all that God has done through that and that one win. And for me, even to be a student there, to now host a radio show where I can talk about faith and talk about this game, it's cool that there's just a lot of layers to what took place 10 years ago up at the Big House. So I appreciate you sharing all that.
Well, God's still working miracles. We just all got to open up our eyes and see them, you know.
That's
He's still a great God. And I appreciate you having us on your radio show. And it's cool to reminisce about that great event 10 years ago. And it is hard to believe it's 10 years ago. I know my son's a walk-on quarterback at App right now. And
yeah.
He's in that locker room. As an 11-year-old standing beside Jeez. Coach Moore at the end of the game. So it's cool to see it come full circle for him.
Big time. Well, yeah, real quickly as we end, your son, he's a redshirt quarterback, redshirt freshman quarterback. How did he decide to go to App?
Because his mama didn't want him to play for the guy at Western. But no, he just the opportunity there. He grew up there and a lot of respect for Coach Satterfield. He's one of my best friends in the world. And it's a good opportunity for him. He's having a ball.
Awesome. Well, good stuff. Well, Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Wish you the best this weekend in Hawaii. And thanks for going down memory lane with us today on Unpacking It.
Well, sounds great. And all I can say this week's aloha.
That's pretty good. Enjoy some waves, too.
Yes, sir.
There's Coach.
Yes, sir. Take care.
You too, Coach. I hope you enjoyed those stories and memories from Coach Mark Spear and really just appreciate him taking the time, especially as he's preparing for his own team and the team that he coaches now. And it's just neat to see how that App win and the success that they had led to other opportunities for the coaches and players involved. One of my roommates at the time was, I don't even know what his title was, but he was like just a grad assistant or less. And now he's got a key role at UNC. And so it's just there's just so many stories of guys that just got that experience and were a part of something special, and it really helped them out in the long run. So that's kind of the story for Coach Mark Spear. The one big thing and takeaway, of course, for me and unpacking it, and we're all about, you know, sports fans following Jesus. It was cool to hear Coach Spear's perspective on the faith of the team, because I witnessed it just being a student there, and it really was true. I mean, these guys, they were involved in the local churches, and they, when they could, they were involved with other ministries on campus, but it really was about their Bible study, that team Bible study, where a good majority of the team went to it. Like, maybe not everybody necessarily, you know, was really following Jesus at that time, but that was kind of the expectation that, hey, this is the makeup of our team. We're going to do this with character, and we're going to follow the leaders of this team. And those leaders are actually followers of Jesus. And so when your head coach is just an incredible man, and he sets that tone, it was cool. It really was. And listen, I don't know if, you know, God, we're actually going to have a guy on our show who talks about, does God care about who wins? And it's not so much about that, but what it is about, that God has used that win for his glory. And just a lot of the stories that have come out of that, God can use a win like that. And he strengthened them to be in a position to win that game. And he blessed a lot of those guys. There's no question about that. And so doesn't, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But anyway, you could tell that this is just from Coach talking about it. They were a team of prayer and belief and faith in each other, but beyond that, in God. And so their faith was real. So I just wanted to share that with our listeners today. So I hope you were encouraged by that. One other thought as we kind of wrap things up today, and I'll play this clip from PTI. It was such a neat experience from start to finish for me personally, because it began when we knew the game was taking place. We camped out for tickets. And the funny thing is, we didn't even need to do it, because the truth is, not many students went to the game. Because they weren't as diehard. Like, only the very diehard fans went to Michigan, and almost you had to have some belief as a fan that App could beat Michigan in order to go on a, I think it was a 15-hour bus ride, at least 12, but or we not a bus ride a van ride. We borrowed my buddy's mom's minivan, and five of us, I think, crammed in there, five or six of us, and we drove, you know, from the mountains up to Michigan. We stopped at the Hall of Fame along the way in Canton, Ohio, and so it was just all of it, from camping out to not even needing to, but hey, we did it. It was part of the deal, and then when we actually won, on our way back, we would stop at restaurants or gas stations. And we were wearing all of our App gear, and maybe we pretended like we were players. I got to confess that today. We would at least joke around a little bit, because anybody in Michigan or Ohio didn't know necessarily. But when we were in Ohio driving back, they loved us. But if we stopped at other places, I don't think those Michigan fans or Michigan people were too thrilled about us. They were like, get out of our state. Hit the road. There's the exit. Get on out of town. But Ohio loved us. You know, people at Penn State loved us. And Wisconsin, I mean, all sorts of teams, all those fans were buying App State gear and all that kind of stuff. So that was really fun, too. And as we were driving home, this great minivan ended up getting a flat tire. But because of everything we experienced, nobody cared. We were just like, oh, well, we just beat Michigan. Who cares about a flat tire? So that was kind of funny, too. But I could go all day, tell you all sorts of stories, but maybe we'll save it for the 15 or 20-year anniversary. But it was a special day. Thanks for listening, allowing me to share all this with you today. One final clip from PTI. Enjoy.
Here's what's amazing, though, Tone. Appalachian State had more turnovers than Michigan. They had the same number of penalties. Michigan had a 188-yard rusher, a huge late play from its first-round receiver, and a good quarterback game. In other words, this wasn't really a fluke, was it?
That's a rhetorical question. You don't really mean that. You don't want to take the Lou Holtz position, which he took on television, that this wasn't an upset.
This is the biggest upset in the history of college football. Michigan is not a real number five. I'm not diminishing the upset. What I'm saying is that Appalachian State deserved to win that game. They had as much talent on that field as who they were playing.
Again, you and Holtz, you're from the moon. This is the biggest upset ever. They may not be a real number five, but they're Michigan. A year ago, if I'm not mistaken, they were undefeated into the Ohio State game, playing essentially for the national championship.
They lost their whole defense.
A 1AA team is not supposed to beat Michigan at Michigan, no matter how bad Michigan is.
They went into their home, and the statistical discrepancies, there weren't any. They played them down for down. Fine. It wasn't because Michigan was flat.
Listen carefully.
It's because Appalachian State had a receiver who could run faster than Michigan's entire secondary.
And that should not